This podcast is for informational purposes only and does not constitute legal, tax, investment, financial, or other advice. It is not intended to cause or induce breach of an existing agency agreement.
Hello?
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 This is the Vancouver
Commercial
Real Estate Podcast.
And welcome back to the Vancouver Commercial Real Estate Podcast. I'm Corey Wright. And on today's program, we have Peter Mitham joining us from the Western Investor. This will be the fourth year now we've had someone from the Western Investor join us to go over their top five markets to keep an eye on in 2026. This is Peter's second year in a row on the program. Before that, we had the late Frank O'Brien join us to kind of walk us through there. But today we're going to go through what the Western Investor wants to highlight in 2025 and five markets in Western Canada. We've got two from BC, one from Alberta, one from Manitoba, and one from Saskatchewan. I don't think people will be too surprised with Peter's picks this year just because they do kind of fall in line with a lot of the stuff that you hear about. And his two markets in BC. We love those markets. We talk about them all the time on the program here. We're very, very bullish on them. So without further ado, let's get to our interview today with Peter Mitham, Western Investor.
This podcast is presented by Impact Commercial.
Impact Commercial, John, Alan, the team over there are fantastic. They've all been on the show.
They have, yeah.
Friends of the show.
Great guys.
Wealth of experience. They can help with all your commercial financing needs.
Whether it's owner-occupiers, land development funds, commercial investments, or multifamily, these guys got you covered.
And they recently obtained their CMHC correspondent lender status.
So for all your commercial lending needs, visit them at impactcommercial.ca.
That's impactcommercial.ca.
Attention realtors, homebuyers, and investors. If you missed out on Atlin at Clayton Crest by Zentera Developments, here's your second chance.
Atlin sold 80% in just 3 months, Adam. And because of that success, Zentera is launching Building 2, Butte.
Located in West Clayton and walking distance to the future SkyTrain station, prices are still low for now, but not for long.
Homeowners across the Lower Mainland are using equity from their current homes to invest in West Clayton, ahead of the SkyTrain and the next market upswing, because when that SkyTrain is complete and the market rebounds, it'll be too late.
This, Matt, is how wealth is built. Find out why Atlin sold so fast and register now at buttecondos.ca. That's B-U-T-E condos.ca.
All right, we're here today with Peter Mitham, editor, Western Investor. Peter, how are you doing today?
Not too bad, thanks, Corey.
Thank you once again, Peter, for joining us. This is now, I believe it's the fourth year in a row we've had you guys on from the Western Investor. Two previous years with Fred O'Brien, who unfortunately is no longer with us. You joined us last year, and you're gracious enough to come back again and join us this year. We have you guys on every year around this time, because in your November issue, you kind of spotlight five cities that you feel potentially may be something for people to watch out for heading into 2026. And you guys do a great job covering it. Can you maybe let us know a little bit before we get into those five cities? What type of criteria or what do you guys look for every year in order for these cities to be named and qualified to be part of that list?
Well, this is my second year of working on the project, and I usually prefer to look at the data. And so what stood out for me this year was just some of the monthly numbers features. That's a page with the vital statistics, vital economic statistics, as it were, on Western Canada. And there were some focuses there that helped determine which cities we're going to and which communities we're going to be part of the list this year. But then we also try to just look at some of the broader trends and that maybe not so much driven by data, but rather sentiment, and just looking to see where people are investing, where activity is happening, and where some of the biggest deals have been happening, which is sort of a retrospective look, but it shows where the momentum is.
Well, I know for these episodes here, I usually just sit back and I get my pen and paper out ready to sort of let you talk about it. So without further ado, why don't we start at number 5 and we'll work our way forward to number 1. So on your list this year, what is number 5 city you guys want to spotlight?
Well, we don't really rank it that way, but I guess one of the things we do is try to get a regional balance and look at one community from each of the Western provinces. And of course, being based in BC, we choose a couple of communities from BC. So I definitely think we could start off with Kelowna and then circle back. And we chose Kelowna this year pretty much as the largest city in the Okanagan, and also in the spotlight just because land values have been somewhat depressed. And so we've seen that on the industrial side, but we've also seen opportunities for investors and developers to pick up land at good prices that can set them up for the what we hope is the next cycle that's going to be coming after the uncertainties have settled down and become clearer.
So you guys are obviously seeing what's happened, you're reporting on what's happened. Is there anything that sort of surprised you in that Kelowna market over the past year? Maybe, again, you did say that the markets are depressed or and that every market experiencing that, but was there anything that surprised you when you were monitoring the Kelowna market over the past year? Any stories you reported on that maybe caught your eye?
Yeah, well, the Beattie's return of land on Pyramac Way to the market, that caught my eye. There were also a couple of deals in our done deals section from West Kelowna that pointed to an interest in industrial properties. And I'd also had a few conversations that pointed that up. And yeah, and so that pointed a direction towards some of the interest that other investors may have in that area. And then also recently, you'll have seen that UBC purchased a land assembly. Yes. Over in the Capri area. And so that's, again, that was singled out by one of our sources as a rare example of development land being purchased for future development. Now, even though that's going to be developed by a not-for-profit, it still highlights the fact that there are opportunities in the market to purchase land at good prices for future activity.
Well, I know Kelowna is a market that we obviously keep tabs on. We have a great team up there in that region there, does a ton of business. We have Kelowna as one of the BC markets on that list. Did any other BC markets hit your list this year?
Yes, we went back to Nanaimo. That again came to the fore, even though we chose it last year. So I guess we made a good pick last year.
Yeah, we talk a lot about Nanaimo all the time. We're very bullish on Nanaimo. Glad to hear it got the list. Well, I'll let you, what caught... Why? How did Nanaimo get on your list this year? What caught your eye?
Well, similarly to last year, there was good interest in multifamily properties there. Some of the biggest multifamily deals in the province took place in that city. Also, it was called out that rents have been fairly stable there in a era where at a point in time when many cities are seeing downward pressure on. Yeah. Rents, particularly the major cities, there did seem to be some support for rents cash flow there. And it's also interesting that a lot of these secondary markets where there is activity are just not as oversupplied as some of the major centers where there has been a lot of building going on and a lot more of the emphasis on trying to create more affordable and plentiful housing.
Well, I think you nailed it there when you talk about the oversupply of situations. And I think that's one thing like we, from a brokerage level, we watch very, very carefully. And one reason why we've been so bullish on a market like Nanaimo over the years is there's been very little introductory into that market space, especially on like the retail side or even the industrial side. There hasn't been a lot of developments in the commercial side of things, nor for that reason, for the residential side that had a lot of retail components to it. That as demand grew and populations grew, it would put a lot of pressure on the existing inventory. And we've seen that. And I think that's one reason why rates have sort of been very stable in that marketplace compared to other markets where you probably have felt a little bit of oversupply and a very slow absorption of the new supply that's led to rates coming off and maybe higher vacancies.
Yeah. And a friend was just mentioning that in his building, there's several vacant units and their landlord, this is in Vancouver, and the landlord is now offering incentives for people to move in.
Absolutely. So we've got Kelowna and Nanaimo, which are two of my personal favorite markets. And I know from a brokerage level, we promote those markets very, very hard. If we're going to start to head east, where are we going in Alberta? What market caught your eye in Alberta this past year that makes the list for 2026?
Looking at Edmonton, because again, strong upward movement on rents there and a lot of activity on the multifamily side. There was a landmark tower that sold early in the year. And then that was followed up by, in our coverage, by a lot of attention to even some of the smaller properties. And then properties on the fringe or around the ring road have been seeing good growth in rents, pointing to the opportunities in that city, which is also interesting because it is the capital city of the province. And there's also been a move to diversify the local economy so that you're getting a broad-based lift to population growth and investment activity.
Now, Calgary is a market that seems that everybody was talking about. We went with Edmonton. Was there anything that swayed you, Edmonton versus Calgary, between the two of them?
Calgary still seems to be finding its feet. And certainly there's been, say, on the office side, there's been some good conversion projects, some good opportunities to repurpose space, and there's also been a lot of uptake among private investors in the office space in that city. But what really stood out for me, and I call this out in the introduction to the feature, is that there's still a lot of uncertainty. And when you're faced with uncertainty and looking for a path forward, a lot of the opportunities and a lot of the comfort level is in these stable capital cities, which, as it turned out, seems to be true for the rest of Western Canada, that when we actually got down to making our picks.
So we've got Edmonton as our pick this year for Alberta. And I'm not going to extend that to your prediction for the Stanley Cup Finals, because obviously McDavid and crew are 0-2, unfortunately, the past 2 years here with it. But now if we're going to go into Saskatchewan, what city are we putting on that list this year in Saskatchewan?
Yeah, we went with Regina because, again, housing affordability is still good there, but also the housing demand. And if investors are looking for properties that basically have good upside, Regina is a place where that exists and still exists compared to a city like Saskatoon. It was also interesting just to hear the number of both aspirations as well as major projects that are getting underway in southern Saskatchewan. And as the largest city in that area, Regina basically is the base for anybody either going west to Moose Jaw or east to the southeastern part of the province where there's green energy projects.
So Regina hits the list for Saskatchewan. We've got one province left in Manitoba there. Who caught your eye?
Winnipeg. Now, well, I felt some of the picks were conservative this year.
Yep.
Didn't necessarily want to go with the tried and true, but again, it has seen good upside on the housing front because it is at the crossroads of the country as a major hub on both east-west and north-south corridors. It has seen strong demand for industrial space. We focused on rural municipality of Rosser last year, where Centreport Canada has a lot of opportunities. But CBRE recently called out that Winnipeg has seen some of the strongest growth in industrial asking prices. So if you've got space there for industrial, it is still seeing strong growth.
So just to sort of recap our list here, actually, before we do that, was there any honorable mentions or any cities that you felt could have easily been on the list, maybe as 1A or 1B for a certain property or a certain province? Who potentially was considered for this list this year that didn't make it?
Again, a lot of the anchored by some of the growth that we've seen or the stability that we've seen in the major centers that did make the list, it's the surrounding communities, say, of Edmonton or even further up island on Vancouver Island, such as Comox Courtney. So you would see Comox Courtney area as in the Comox Valley is having good opportunities for growth. I know several people actually who've just relocated over there or are thinking about doing it. And then there's also St. Albert and the municipalities around Edmonton. And then, if you look, based on some of the hopes, we could potentially say Moose Jaw or even in areas of central Alberta, such as Red Deer, that are close to the areas of growth and maybe seeing some of the benefits of proximity from that.
So just I'll recap our list here. So in BC, we have two of my favorite markets. We have Nanaimo and Kelowna on this year's list. Then we go to the City of Champions, but unfortunately, we're not champions the past 2 years. City of Edmonton from Alberta. Then we're going to Regina, home of the Regina Pats, former junior team of Connor Bedard. And then finally, Winnipeg as our last choice in Manitoba there. Home of the Winnipeg Jets. Can't really knock them because they're better than the Canucks, to say the least. I think that's a great list this year. A lot of those cities, I think, are headlining cities that you alluded to, maybe on the safer bet side. But I think a lot of the data that you pointed out there is definitely driving a lot of those markets. And I'm excited to see how this year pans out. I think I can say, at least from a brokerage standpoint, we have been extremely busy the last few months. And heading into our last quarter here, we've been really, really busy on the brokerage side. I'm going to be very optimistic to say that this Q4 of 2025 could be our biggest quarter in the past 3 years, how it's shaping up right now. Hopefully this trend continues into next year and moving on where we get 2026 and we get back into kind of our regular thing from commercial. Peter, before we let you go, we have a six-pack of lighthearted questions we ask all of our guests. Do you mind sticking around for just a few more minutes?
Not at all.
Well, thank you once again for joining us today. But before we let you go, first question up, favorite vacation spot, Peter, when you find the time?
I've, to be quite honest, Corey, I have had very little time this year. I've been actually doing a lot of elder care. And so, actually, to be honest, when I've been taking respite from elder care, I've been heading over to the Chignecto Isthmus and the Tantramar area between Nova Scotia and New Brunswick. And that's been a good, restful and peaceful place.
Favorite DoorDash order?
Okay, so the secret on eating out is I actually make most of my own food.
Fair enough.
If you want to have a better...
What about favorite Save-On Food DoorDash order?
No, I think my best shout out right now would be going down to Les Amis de Fromage on West 2nd.
Well, I think that's a good choice. A good choice. I've been there before. I would second that one for those who haven't found that. Now, if you do find your time and you do find yourself out, what is your drink of choice?
I should be saying wine, but to be honest, I've been opting for finding a good craft brewery, just exploring that because it's more affordable, it's lower alcohol, and you can enjoy it in one sitting and just hopefully with a little bit of food and make your way home.
If we opened up your iTunes or your Spotify app, what songs would you find you listening to right now?
Oh, that's a good one. I think you would probably find a selection of choral music, to be quite honest. So music by Healy Willen, Canadian organist, and some of his musical settings. I think that would be a good option.
Good choice. Good choice. Final question up, Peter. This is for hockey fans and non-hockey fans. Do the Canucks make the playoffs this year?
I have not even given that a thought yet with the Blue Jays in the World Series. I think everybody's attention is on that right now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, let's ask the question that everyone wants to know. Do the Jays close it out at home here? We're recording this on October 30th. It's a Thursday. Tomorrow's Halloween. And Jays are playing the Dodgers game 6 in Toronto. Do the Jays close it out tomorrow?
Let's hope so.
Yeah. No, I think they've come so far. I think the whole country's fallen in love with the Jays. Even for those non-baseball fans, We'd love to find out. Hopefully they get the results tomorrow night, which would be great to close it out on Halloween. Peter, thank you so much for joining us. But for anyone who wants to find out more about yourself or what you're doing, the Western Investor, where can they find out that? Where can they go to find that information?
Yeah, the best site is westerninvestor.com. Yeah, I usually let my publications speak for myself. And because, as you know, we're all only as good as our last article, right?
There you go.
Only as good as our last deal.
Peter, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it, as always, for taking the time to unpack five cities that the Western Investor is spotlighting for 2026. Thank you once again for joining us. We really appreciate it.
And thanks for the opportunity, Corey. Always a pleasure.
Thanks, Peter. Take care. There you have it, folks. Our interview today with Peter Mitham from the Western Investor, unpacking the top five markets in BC to keep an eye on. As I alluded to at the start of the program with the intro there, the two BC markets, Nanaimo being one of them. We love these markets. We talk about them all the time. And I think one thing too that is to keep an eye on is the external demand now coming into some of these secondary markets like in Nanaimo has far outpaced any development that's happening, because development costs, especially on the commercial side, are far too expensive now, it feels like, to get the projects up and going, that it puts a lot of pressure on the existing inventory. Thus, you start to see lease rates start to rise. And one of those asset classes that we particularly like is the retail side of things, which we talked about on the program there. Also, some great Alberta options, Manitoba and Saskatchewan options there. I don't think anyone's surprised with any of those options there that the Western Investor picked. You do hear a lot of them in the news and in the media over the past year, which kind of leads into hopefully a better 2026 and how our start of 2026 than how we started 2025. For all those people looking to do commercial real estate, you can reach us anytime at William Wright Commercial via our website, williamwright.ca. You can drop us an email at corey@williamwright.ca. You can also contact our head office in Vancouver at 604-428-5255. Let us know what you're looking at, and we'll direct you in the right direction for any agent throughout the province. Thanks for listening, guys. We'll be back next week with another great episode.
Subscribe today.